Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Hey, this is Dynamite Dede.
Hey, this is Flash McKenna.
This is former WCW wrestling star Glacier.
This is your favorite homie, JR.
And this is Sean Maluta, the king of the Savate.
This is Jake the Snake Roberts, and you're listening to Top of the Morning.
What is up? Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Top of the Morning podcast. I'm your host, Eric Ames, your social media director and news editor for TheChairShot.com. Hope everyone's doing well this morning. Me and Dave, we were hanging out last night a little bit, so it's a little rough this morning, Dave. I don't know. Do you agree? I do.
I had about 7 beers last night, I think. It was a fun morning to get up. I loved it. Every bit of it.
It was. Especially
glad
after
to be
that,
here.
That awesome performance by the Celtics last night. So we're a little bit tired. How are you doing this morning, Josh? How are you feeling today?
Oh, I feel great. I am a 35-year-old man, but inside I'm 80. So I went to bed at 8 o'clock last night on a Saturday night, partied real hard. So yeah, I'm awake and ready to go, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I probably didn't have to do a morning show, but, you know, I mean, it was a wonderful decision.
Wonderful! Wonderful!
Double wonderful. All right, so back this morning is Doug. Doug, how you doing this morning, bud?
I'm doing all right, man. You think that, you know, getting up like 45 minutes before the show, you're like, I got plenty of time, put the coffee on. You know, I got plenty of time to get in here with you guys. I think I broke in with about 50 seconds before showtime, so we're rocking and rolling.
Right, yeah. It's like you need a little booger sugar or some Red Bull or something. Like, oh, my God. All right. We're not going to mess around too much today, guys. We're going to head right into our first segment, Set the Table. Of course, if you're listening in, you can go ahead and give us a call. Anytime we add something new to the table, we'll add that to the call list. 914-803-4532. So what do you say, guys? Enough screwing around. Let's get right into it, eh?
Sounds good to me, man.
Let's do it.
All right. Let's crush it. We're going to get into our first topic.
No, we're not nameless. We're not faceless. We were born for greatness. Somebody's down the alarm. Time that you know. We're not nameless, we're not faceless, we were born for greatness.
Well, let me start off with rhetorical question. What the hell is going on with the Raw Tag Team Division? I could definitely throw SmackDown in here, but I'm gonna leave it to Raw for now. So let's kind of go through it a little bit. Your champions right now, Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy. An amazing story between those two as we're heading into WrestleMania. And of course, Bray gets thrown into the lake of reincarnation and comes back as Matt Hardy's homeboy. So now it's, I don't know what they're doing. They end up winning the titles, obviously. But now they're almost like they're almost an afterthought, just like every other tag team on Raw. So let's look at the division as a whole to begin. So you have your champions, Hardy and Wyatt. who have really not been doing much of anything on Raw lately. But then after that, it's a total cluster. You have what is now known as the B-Team, Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel, who I think have been great lately. It looks like we're finally starting to do something with those guys, but they've been losing so often and for so long, it's going to take some time for me to be able to take them seriously. After that, you have the Authors of Pain, who of course debuted not too long ago. They're already wrestling on Main Event. What? How in the hell? How does this make any sense? How in the hell? Next up, we have Titus Worldwide. I mean, do I need to even say anything else about them? Come on now. Again, another team that's really just continued to lose. How am I ever supposed to take them seriously? Especially when Titus's new gimmick is that he fell. So,
right.
I mean,
exactly.
Oh my God. It's so bad, dude. So bad.
Worlds.
After that, let's see. Who do we got next? The Revival. Let's keep jobbing them out. You know, they're not important. They've been gone for so long last year with the injuries that it just, I don't know. They've had zero momentum whatsoever. Then you have Heath Slater and Rhino, who have way, way overstayed their welcome. They should have been broken up at least a year ago at this point. So pretty much they're just putting people over, just like every other tag team on Raw. Then you have Breezango, who I think you could do a lot more with these guys. I mean, granted, they're still kind of new to Raw. I find them to be very entertaining, Breezango. But then after that, you have The Ascension, again, another team that means absolutely nothing. Nobody cares about. Lastly,
future IWGP tag champions.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, that was a pretty good take last week. And then lastly, this is kind of my wild card team because I'm not certain that they are a tag team yet as much as so as it's an alliance. Personally, I would like to see them be allies and work singles. And that's Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre. Now, does anybody agree with me in them working singles? Like, is there anybody that thinks that they should just remain a tag team? Because in my eyes, I feel like Drew McIntyre, and from reports on thechairshot.com, be sure to check that out, someone else very high up in the company is extremely high on Drew McIntyre as well. So, I don't know. I'll go to you first on this, Doug. Let me give you kind of a general question. Your thoughts on the tag team division as a whole, and then, do you think Ziggler and McIntyre should be part of that, or should they just kind of be singles wrestlers aligned with each other?
Well, I think that whatever WWE does, like, they need to make a commitment if they're going to make this tag team division good. Like, right now, when you're going through the list, you're talking about a big list of guys who, it seems like the majority of the tag division at any given time, it's just a bunch of guys that are getting jobbed out in singles and they have nothing else to do. And I don't know how you're ever going to build a tag division out of that. They need to make a commitment to the tag team division. And how many times, time after time after time after time, do we talk about, you know, people who are really over in NXT and they never quite have the same luster on the main roster. And I think that you've got to start thinking about putting these guys in legitimate tag teams and building legitimate tag teams. You have to make the tag team division a desirable place to be, because if you're somebody who's in NXT right now and your desire is the main roster, you don't want to be a tag team guy because, you know, there's no money in that. There's no glory in that. But that's because WWE is doing it wrong. So they need to make a bigger commitment to making the tag team division good. It's either jobbed out guys, or sometimes you end up with a situation where you had singles guys who were kind of upper mid card, who had nothing else going. They didn't quite know what to do with them. When Cesaro and Sheamus first got together, it felt really, really bizarre, and they fought and clawed and they made it good. But there's such an abundance of talent. And so many times NXT guys come up and they flame out on the main roster because they try to push them into a crowded singles division. They need they need to make that commitment to the tag team division. When I think about, you know, some of those glory years of the 90s, you know, when I think of everybody knows that I'm a WCW guy, and my two favorite tag teams to this day were Harlem Heat and the Steiner Brothers. They worked great together as tag teams, but you knew at the end of the day, that's how you built single stars, because, you know, even in Harlem Heat's heyday, you knew that Booker T was really the guy, and Scotty had more of a singles potential than Rick. But they worked for years, and they were really the foundation of a great tag team division.
Yeah, absolutely. I would agree with you there. I think one of the main issues is I don't think that they should have moved the bar to SmackDown Live. I think that was a poor decision. I think if you're going to move a team of that ilk, or I guess that high enough of a standard on Raw, you need to replace them with a team of the same ilk. So I thought if you're going to do that, you should swap the Usos over, or maybe even bring the New Day back, because there's just no credibility at all to, you know, anything they're doing right now. You have a 3-hour program, and I don't know, it's like there's no long-term thought.
Thinking is pointless, like motorcycle helmets.
You know, let's
precisely.
Let's put some thought into it. I don't know. What do you think, Josh? What's kind of your opinion on this as a whole?
Well, I mean, first off, if you're down in NXT and you're a team like TM61 or the Street Profits or any of those younger tag teams, and your desire is the main roster, well, really, should it be? Because if you look at the Authors of Pain and the Revival and the Ascension to the furthermost extent, what has happened to these teams that were great in NXT and really proved themselves? They're being jobbed out, they're being made jokes of, and they're being put on B-class shows with no limelight and no exposure, no storylines. So if I was an NXT tag team, I would not want to go anywhere. I'd want to stay put. On Raw,
yeah, I think we're seeing some of that actually with, you know, the Revival work and some NXT live events over the weekend, because it's like, you know, you're not doing anything with them, so you might as well let them go work a little bit in NXT. The biggest problem, I think, Josh, is that, like I said, a lot of these teams, I don't want to say like jobbed out, because that's such an overused term, and I think a lot of people don't, you know, they don't really understand it or use it correctly. But I mean, pretty much, they all lose all the time. How can you, there's no credibility there whatsoever. So now you're really kind of barren the landscape on Raw, and you have all these teams that have been losing so much. Now you have to build them up, and none of us can really take them seriously. You know what I mean? And I think a lot of us are waiting for this kind of, I don't even know what you would call it. Like, I don't know. Like, maybe they hold hands in private.
Bump stuff with me. Chicks dig it when dudes kiss and bump stuff.
What's up with Hardy and Wyatt? It just seemed like such a random thing, and like, I don't know about anybody else, but I'm kind of expecting that to dissolve at some point. So, you really better have some kind of a backup plan. Why is Authors of Pain on main event already? I don't understand. Someone explain this to me, Doug. Give me an explanation. Book this.
Like I said, I think it's just a lack of commitment. The tag team division doesn't mean anything, and I think that, you know, what they did at WrestleMania just proved that. I mean, sure, I'm sure in the back they thought it would be a nice moment to have a kid have a little shining moment. But when they had Braun, you know, basically single-handedly take the tag belts off of Cesaro and Sheamus, they told us exactly what they think of the tag team division.
Yeah, they slapped us all in the face with that. It's ridiculous.
Yep, I would agree with you 100%. I saw a lot of people kind of like, oh, it's supposed to be a great moment, blah, blah, blah. Like, no, you just destroyed everything you did with Cesaro and Sheamus for, you know, over a year, making them one of your top teams. It's like, I don't understand. Sometimes it seems like they just do things without any, like, long-term thinking or, like, I don't know. I don't think this is exactly the case, but I almost wonder if Vince is like, all right, let's kind of play a joke on the tag teams, and he's just sitting in his office like,
I mean, you've got a team like the Revival, Eric, that is supposed to be modeled after Blanchard and Anderson, and they would never have jobbed that team out. They would have never made a joke out of the Four Horsemen back in the day, yet you're more than willing to make a joke out of the Revival. I just don't understand it. Creative seems to really be lacking when it comes to the younger tag teams.
Yeah, it definitely does. I would agree with you. The Revival, I guess, would kind of be a little bit of an outlier because they were so marred with injuries last year that they really never were able to get anything going. But, you know, they have also said some things on Twitter and on TV, like some kind of no-nos. So I don't – maybe they got in trouble. I'm not really sure. But, yeah, it just doesn't make any sense to me. There has been no long-term planning whatsoever with the Raw Tag Division. And I think a lot of that boils down to the superstar shakeup, honestly, because that was your opportunity to really kind of make something out of it. And now it just seems like, you know, are the next challengers Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel? Like, as much as I enjoy those guys and find them entertaining, I can't take them seriously as a threat to Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt. So I don't know. I need to see some more long-term planning. So let's wrap this topic up. I'm going to go around the table here with a question. Because I don't think everybody really answered it. So we'll finalize it with this. Do you think that Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre should remain in the tag team division, or do you think that they should be more of like a Shawn Michaels Diesel kind of an alliance? I know those guys were tag champs at one point, but they're single stars. Let's be real here. So obviously you guys know what I think. We'll go to Josh first.
I think they should be working as singles competitors, but as an alliance.
All right, Doug, what do you think?
I think it's okay to keep them together a little bit, what Josh said. I mean, you know, let them tag, you know, because you have so much time to fill on Monday night. So, you know, let them fill time together at times, but don't be afraid to unleash them.
All right, last up, you, Dave, what do you think? Do you think Dolph and Drew McIntyre should keep tag teaming, or do you think that they are better off as single stars?
Well, I do like them together right now, but ultimately I would like to see them as singles competitors. But first, I got to get back to watching wrestling, because right now I've been watching nothing but NBA playoffs and NHL. So I got really nothing here today, guys.
Yeah. Dave really soured on the product after Backlash, and I quite honestly, I can't blame you, because that was a really bad show.
Don't get me wrong.
So,
I'll get back into it.
WWE.
Just,
you got to be knocking on Dave's door again so he can let you back in the house.
Who let you back in the house?
Damn right.
All right. If you're listening out there in podcast land, go ahead and give us a call on any of this stuff we're putting on the table. So we got the Raw Tag Team Division on there now. And you can do that at 914-803-4532. We're going to move on to our next topic. This one's a little bit of a biggie, so Dave is going to take it away.
Everybody's got a price. Everybody's going to pay. $1 million man.
Are you a gambling man, Dave?
I am not really a gambling man per se. Like you said, we're always into talking fantasy football. So into that, but not so much the gambling scene. But it was still interesting to me the recent news that came out about sports betting being legalized, or about to be legalized. So, I'll just read down through, I'll paraphrase from David Purdom from ESPN. Said that Monday, the Supreme Court struck down a federal law that prohibits sports gambling. The court ruled 6-3 to strike down Professional and Amateur Sports Protection Act, or PASPA, a 1992 law that barred state-authorized sports gambling with some exceptions, i.e. Nevada. So now, states that want to offer legal sports betting, they can do it. New Jersey's planning to be the first. So the court ruled in favor of New Jersey and against the NCAA, NFL, NBA, NHL, and MLB, capping a nearly six-year legal battle and overturning a federal statute that the sports leagues have adamantly stood by for more than 20 years. So what does that mean? Well, first of all, sports betting is still currently illegal. The court's ruling merely hinged on the 10th Amendment, which says that while Congress can preempt the states from taking actions, it can't order them to take certain actions. Therefore, the court found PASPA unconstitutional
in that the law ordered the states to take action to prohibit sports gambling. So, what this means, states can now start taking legislative action to make sports betting legal. That will take time because this is government we're talking about. So, think months or years before your state gets its shit together to put together a bill that actually gets implemented into law. So, in the meantime, Congress can now decide whether to get involved and regulate sports betting on a federal scale or let the states do it themselves. So, aside from appeasing gamblers, why does this matter to you and me? Well, it matters because it's going to make the rich people very much richer. You know, I won't get into why that matters on a political scale because it's a fun show, and I'd like to get back to more of the slap and tickle fest with you dildos in a couple of minutes. But it was estimated that $150 billion was spent last year. Oh, there's a chance, buddy. There's more than
yeah!
a chance.
Yeah! Woo!
So basically, everybody and his brother are going to try to put their hand in the honeypot, so to speak. So that matters big time in terms of the big four leagues and the NCAA, their teams, their owners, players. Mark Cuban, the Dallas Mavericks, quoted as saying, "I think everybody who owns a top four sports team just basically saw the value of their team double at least." That might be a bit of a stretch, but it's not altogether unrealistic. So, and it also matters for those of us out there who are Patriots fans, coming off two solid years of painstakingly following the legal case surrounding Deflategate. Not that anybody wants to hear about that again. But we always heard the term integrity.
Let's skip that.
Oh, yeah. No, I'd rather not. But integrity of the league, that was always thrown around. That was one of Goodell's favorite phrases. And that will be a phrase again in this sports betting thing as they try to figure out just how they're going to make this work, how everybody's going to get paid. And, integrity fees is what all the leagues have come up with. Basically a way to tax the bookies and disperse those monies to states and the leagues. And that may not be a good thing, depending on, you don't know how much money they're going to come up with. They're going to make doing this. It's not revenue based. So who knows how that's all going to work, but because there's risk involved in gambling, if you don't believe me, just talk to Antoine Walker or watch Peaky Blinders or something. They're going to want money for that. So these leagues came up with the fees because they don't want to bear all the risks while the bookies and the gamblers gain all the profits. So they basically tax bookies, disperse it to everybody. So that's gonna have some big implications for the players, what they're going to get for cut, and what the owners are going to get for a cut. And it's just going to have a significant impact on the way Americans experience sports because they'll probably put betting places right inside the sports stadiums now. And that'll be interesting to see just how it affects salary cap and all that. And I just thought that was a pretty interesting. So what do you guys think? What do you guys think now that sports betting is going to be on the table? The states are going to have their say basically in a matter of time. Unless Congress enacts something quickly, which I don't see that happening.
Doubtful.
So what do you think? What do you think, Josh? What do you think about the sports betting?
I'm all for it. Although I think I have a real concern with addiction in this society, and gambling addiction is a real thing. And now that you're essentially making it accessible, I can go down to Cumbie's and put money on the Celtics game tonight with no driving, no effort whatsoever. I think people that have these problems and, you know, have these vices just found an outlet that's perfect for them. And I think that is a potential problem that we're looking at. Doug, do you have anything on this?
Let's face it, Josh, you live out in the middle of nowhere, so you could probably place a bet pretty much anywhere.
Oh boy.
Rocky bomb.
sorry. Go ahead, Doug.
Does that mean I can put money on the pig scrambles this year?
No, that cow shit bingo, homie.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, my word. No, I mean, that's a legitimate concern, but I mean, I think most of us kind of lean a little social libertarian in this room. And, you know, from that perspective, it for me, it doesn't make any sense that it's not regulated or outlawed as it is right now. Obviously, it's already an industry that has billions and billions of dollars. It's already an industry where people are getting rich. It's already an industry where there's concerns about, you know, ethics. There is a concern about addiction, but, you know, there's a concern about addiction with just about anything that's already. It's that whole debate about, like, legalizing pot. You know, and while I don't think it's a harmful thing, even though I don't do it, and so I do think it's, you know, people can have the debate of well, is it harmful? Is it not? You know, it's that social libertarian idea of you know, you should be able to do what you want as long as you're not harming others. I mean, right now, Josh, you can go down to Cumbie's and you can spend $1,000 on scratch tickets right now. You know, I mean, people do have addictions to things that are legal and accessible right now. So, you know, it's that conversation of why is this different? There are already concerns about, like, ethics and sports. Right now, I mean, offshore betting in America is already a multi-billion-dollar industry. It's obviously going to get bigger as it becomes more streamlined. But those things are there. It's the same thing with the pot debate. Like, it's like people saying, well, you know, more people are going to start smoking or have problems with it as it becomes legal. But, you know, look, people who want to smoke pot are already smoking pot, and it's like – it's just a matter of, is it regulated or not?
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And I think that's why it's a good idea for the states to get underway and writing some legislation for regulating sports betting themselves. Whereas the leagues right now, I mean, they just got ruled against. They just lost, but I mean, they lost, but they won because they stand to gain so much money from sports betting. But, you know, it is a double-edged sword. So they don't want to accrue these risks, right? So that's why they want to impose integrity fees, and we'll see if that's even legal to do. Who knows? What do you think? Do you think Vegas is going to lose out big time on these sports betting being legal across the country? Doug?
I don't. You know, I mean, because if you're going to Vegas, man, you're going to Vegas. And if you happen to put something on the sports books, you know, when in Vegas, that's going to happen no matter what. The fact that it's more accessible to everybody else, just, you know, it's just the difference of are people placing bets online or are they going to Vegas and they're, you know, just for the fun of it, putting money there. I don't think Vegas is going to lose out any.
No, I don't think so either. Last year, it says 24 major casinos on the Vegas Strip. They generated $70.3 million last year. And
yeah.
And that accounted for 1.26% of their $5 billion gambling revenue. That was
a drop in the bucket for them.
That was just sports. So that's chump change to those guys. So I don't think Vegas is going to be hurt any.
Here's where I do think somebody's going to get hurt. And this is what I'm going to be really, really interested to see as this becomes more streamlined is, you know, fantasy sports. We all play. And I really think that when you look at sports in the last 30 years, you know, sports have become so sterilized. It's kind of like WWE. People talk about ratings being down, but the profits are at an all-time high. And you're like, well, how does this make any sense? It's because people are consuming differently. It's also expanded markets. But I think that, you know, people just complain and complain and complain about the sterilization of sports. The NFL is a great example, you know, with replay and blah, 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 and all these rules, and you can't touch the quarterback and you can't make a hit. And, you know, and people complain and they talk about, let's boycott the NFL. The NFL is becoming too soft. The NFL is becoming too this, too that. But the money is just going up. And I think that, you know, the saving grace of the NFL and other sports is fantasy sports. If it weren't for that, people would lose interest and stop watching. You know, I mean, you know, we can go down to the bar and watch the Browns game, you know, just because we have a player in the game and be interested. If we didn't have a player playing, you know, so
we'd be watching the Browns game, right?
Right. You know, so fantasy sports is the saving grace for a sterilization of all four big four sports. I think that if sports betting becomes more streamlined, it's going to really benefit the big four sports, because people are going to have more of a reason to watch, but it's going to be a different reason to watch. And I wouldn't be surprised to see participation in traditional fantasy sports go down as sports betting becomes more streamlined. What do you guys think about that?
I think you might be onto something, Doug, especially when you consider that these fees that might be accrued ultimately pass down to the consumer. If there's any extra costs that these leagues don't want to deal with, that you're going to see that's going to go all the way down to the people that are making the bets. Okay, that's just going to be a little added thing that's going to be taken out of them. So that could have something to do with it. But yeah, so I just thought this was a kind of an interesting topic, just topical stuff just happened on Monday. So there's a lot of ifs, maybes, could happen, could not, you don't know really yet what's going to happen, but, very interesting to see how this might change the landscape of sports as we know it, in the future. Like Eric had brought up to me last night, geez, you might be able to go to Fenway Park someday and mid-game go and place a bet right on the game. So who knows what's going to happen. But anyways, Eric, what do you think about all this?
Well, I mean, you guys know I'm not really much of a gambling man, so I'm kind of more focused on the fantasy side of things. So I agree with Doug. I think we're going to see a lot of, I don't know if it would be like a significant impact, but it's definitely going to impact the amount of people who are playing fantasy, because all the people that were gambling before, or had stopped gambling and were playing fantasy, they're just going to go, you know, to, you know, what do we got here? Probably the dog track, and put money on, you know, individual games rather than kind of just focusing on individual players, because they want to make money. You know, our fantasy league, we don't play for a whole lot of money. Ours is more just so we can kind of shit on each other. And it's more about, you know, it's more about bragging rights and, you know, just making fun of each other, really.
You stupid idiot.
That never happens. That never happens. I don't even know what you're talking about. We're very civil.
Yeah, absolutely. We're very civil. Well, there's definitely a reason why our Fantasy League Facebook page is private, so we'll just put it that way. So
we would all be banned.
Yeah, exactly. Especially I don't know, maybe not so much Doug. He's kinda not as bad as I think, but probably me and Josh and Dave. So we really
a perfect gentleman.
Yeah.
I would get banned by association.
Right, yeah, you're definitely guilty by association. You got the stench on you. So let's kind of wrap this topic up. We'll go around the horn again like we usually do. How big of an impact do you think this will have on fantasy sports within the next 5 years? Let's go with you first, Dave.
Well, within the next 5 years, that's a good question. I think it'll probably take maybe up to a couple of years before we actually get something implemented in this state. Just knowing how things run in this state, it'd probably be a little bit of time before we can actually play some bets. But do I think it'll have a major impact on fantasy sports? Yes and no, I guess. I guess it's not a very good answer, is it? I think the people that are going to play fantasy sports, this is not going to hinder them one bit. So you can still, you don't have to play fantasy sports for money. You can still play it for free if you want. So it's shouldn't affect too much there. But I do think overall in the sports landscape, this could have some big implications.
Overall. How about you, Josh? What's kind of your final thought on how this will affect fantasy sports?
I don't really see it affecting fantasy sports at all, this law itself. I mean, we already have sports betting online with fantasy, so I just don't see it putting that big of a dent. And to Dave's point, in this state in particular, it'll take probably 3 years before we even see it implemented.
Yeah, you're probably right there. How about you, Doug? Finish this up for us.
I think that old habits die hard, and so I think it'll take some time, but I do think that you're going to see a decline over the course of time, especially with the attention spans of people now. You know, like if they're focused on winning, like, you know, we play fantasy sports for the fun of it and to, you know, josh around and things like that. But if somebody's focused on, like, well, I want to play and I want to win, I think that the short attention spans of people who have an opportunity to, quote, win every day, as opposed mm-hmm. to essentially make one bet and have an outcome 4 months later, I think you're going to see more people start to focus their energy on that. And so maybe you don't see the amount of fantasy players having a huge decline, but you're probably going to see the guys who are in 24 leagues, you're going to see that start to decline.
See more people go to, like, DraftKings, FanDuel, and that nature. I could see that with the instant gratification being a huge deal in the social media world. That's a good point, Doug.
Yep.
Fine. None of you agree with me? Well, then all of you.
You know what? You just made the list.
Oh, no. I'll be on his list any day, Eric.
All right. Well, of course you would.
Enough of this government shit. This is bordering on serious talk.
Yeah, what's going on here? This
I don't know.
I feel like am I tripping out right now? I don't know what's going on.
Help us out, Eric.
Dave's like, no, don't go there.
No. Those days are
over. All right,
guys.
Yeah. We'll move on to our next topic. Speak for yourself, Josh. All right, we'll move on to our next topic. So we've got the Raw Tag Team Division on the table. We've got the sports betting issue on the table. So go ahead and give us a call if you're listening, 914-803-4532 in my radio voice. And we will move on to our next topic.
Then, now, forever. God,
so that's kind of a
time.
Kind of a general intro there. So, what do we got for a topic today, Josh?
Well, Eric, I don't know about you, or Dave, or Doug here, but the best $10 I spend every month is down on the coin. Hold on.
Whoa.
The best $10 I spend every month is on the WWE Network. I had to flip pages. That's for a different podcast. I apologize.
Wonderful!
You got your notes messed up.
That's for your big scramble podcast.
Exactly. I'm all agog now.
He was going through his little black book on accident.
I do like the ladies, you know. I do.
I think $10 a month, the WWE Network is spectacular. They give us everything that you could ask for, the full library of pay-per-views, Raws, SmackDowns, anything from their history. The pay-per-views every month is worth that price alone. But specifically what I want to talk to is about is their original programming. And there are some shows that I really enjoy, some that I did so much, some that I really liked and they took away. You've got shows such as Rivalries, the WWE List, Countdown, Legends House, Breaking Ground. These are all shows that haven't been on for 2 years or so now. Their last dating is at least 2015, 2016. All really enjoyable. I don't have any answers as to why they were taken off the air, why they didn't make more of these. But Eric, what do you think? Do you have any information on why these shows would have been taken off?
Cost cutting. It's all cost cutting. I love the WWE Network myself personally. I kind of like different shows more, like the behind the scenes things, like the Breaking Ground, like you mentioned. I think the Chronicle has been good. But yeah, I don't really understand why they get rid of some of these other than just cost cutting. You know, trying to trim down on production expenses and things of that nature. You know, there was always talk of like another Legends House and all these other things that were supposed to happen that have yet to happen. We're getting the return of the ENC show. I know that's coming up soon. They're in production right now. There's been a little bit of talk about like Holy Foley. But yeah, personally, I want to see more of like the rivalries or, you know, the WrestleMania rewinds. Like, those should be really easy to do. So I don't understand why they got rid of them myself. But those are generally the kind of shows that I watch on the network. Haven't been overly impressed with the new Camp WWE stuff. Vince McMahon and Ric Flair are easily the best characters on that show.
Easily,
just
yeah.
Getting them to use their real voices and some of the things that Vince says, like, "Ha, I knew it. I knew that girls farted." Like, he just would never expect that to come out of his mouth. So, I don't know. How about you, Doug? What are you kind of enjoying on the network? I know you're our WCW guy, but anything other than the classic WCW stuff that you're into?
Well, first of all, let's be honest. You know, Vince McMahon and Ric Flair would be the best characters on any show. I mean,
yes, this is true.
Put them on any program, and that's why I'm watching. But I do. I mean, I've kind of dabbled with it. I've never really like taken one show and just watched it outright. I'll kind of watch it more here and there. I've always liked Edge and Christian, so I do like their stuff. When you talk about cost cutting, though, I mean, like, I would consider myself an above average fan, and I have the network and I have it right on my phone, and I watch plenty of content that's not the pay per views. But there's so much content, dude. Like, there's so much. So, like, it's got to be a very small percentage of people who really get to absorb the majority of that content. So it makes sense to trim the fat.
Oh,
yeah, I would agree with you there.
I was going through the list this morning, and there are so many shows that you're right. To narrow it down to a certain time slot where you have available in the day, you really have to pick a specific one or two that you want to focus on. For me, Camp WWE, Eric, I'm completely contradicting you, but I love it. I think it's hilarious.
I'm with you, Josh. I love it.
But
I haven't seen any of the new ones, but... yeah, I definitely like Camp WWE. The characters in that, they just crack me up.
Well, when you have somebody like Seth Green running the show like that, creating it, like, it really gives a professional insight to it. And the same with Swerved, which people are definitely a mixed bag on that. But with enlisting somebody from Jackass like Jeff Tremaine, really made that show, took it to a level that it wasn't going to be without him.
Yeah, I don't think we'll be seeing that one coming back because of the lawsuit against Titus O'Neil and WWE stemming from that show, which I don't know if you guys are aware of, but when they were doing that segment with like the cattle prod thing, Titus had gotten shocked and I guess kind of like kicked at a cameraman, and now the guy's claiming that he got hurt and wasn't able to work and like all this other stuff. Like, I mean, it sounds like he's a total ambulance chaser.
You're a fucking nerd. Nerd. You're a fucking nerd. And nerd. No one likes you.
Yeah, no one likes that guy. What a
douche.
But yeah, I don't think Swerved will be coming back for that reason. Personally, I thought the second season kind of sucked because they were more like pulling pranks on fans. And I don't know, they get more of a reaction out of me on that show when they're pulling pranks on the superstars because I actually know who they are rather than just some Joe Blow on the street. You know, I don't really care about that, but
yeah, I agree 100%.
Yeah.
Season one was way better than season two.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I enjoy Ride Along also. I think it's starting to kind of run its course a little bit, but I don't know. I still would love to see more of like the behind the scenes kind of stuff, just because, you know, I love all those little information nuggets and the stories, you know, like Table for Three. I really enjoy Table for Three, except for the last one. I don't know. And did anybody see the last one with Jarrett and Road Dogg? They were really, man, I don't know. They were kind of like.
Bumped up with me. Chicks dig it when dudes kiss and bumped up.
They were really kind of stroking each other. It must have been awkward for Elias. So, I don't know. What do you think, Josh? What's your feelings on Table for Three?
Table for Three is one of the shows that they've actually kept up on, and they've had a lot of episodes for. Putting the different combinations of old stars and new stars together, the different interactions that come out of that are really nice. I like Table for Three. I wish I had kept up on it a little better. I haven't seen the more recent episodes, but I enjoyed
it. I'm glad you brought that up, because that's my favorite show on there, is Table for Three. I just really like the format. I like the idea of almost feeling like you're sitting down with three guys who are just shooting the shit about wrestling, you know? And sometimes they're very randomly placed together, and other times it's not random at all, but I like the format, and it's a short show. It's not like you got to be committed to an hour or more of an interview that's dragging on. It's just, you know, short and sweet, go around the table. I like it. That's my kind of show.
Absolutely. What was the other one that I was looking at here? I had one on my list, Breaking Ground. That was it, Eric. You had mentioned it earlier. That was probably by far my favorite behind-the-scenes show, because as people have probably figured out at this point, I'm a huge NXT nerd, and I really enjoy it. But to see them learning the business.
Nerd. You're a fucking nerd. Nerd. You're a fucking nerd. Nerd. No one likes you.
I knew it was coming. Why did you have to say you were a nerd? Why?
No.
You should have known that was coming.
We're three episodes.
I didn't even realize I said it. Gosh, damn it all. Did it again.
Josh, what are your opinions on Alexa Bliss?
Oh, yeah.
I unplugged it this morning. I'm learning.
Oh, no. Oh, man.
Fuck. I'm glad for sure.
We had set up our bit for that last night, Josh. We were like, oh, my God. He's totally going to fall for this.
Stupid idiot.
No, I looked at that thing just before we went on air. I'm like, oh, okay. Got to unplug that real quick. Yeah.
You're going to do it every week until you fall for it.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. The last show I wanted to talk about isn't WWE Network specific in the beginning, but it was recently, is Tough Enough. And that recently has given us stars like Mandy, Sonya, and my personal favorite, the Velveteen Dream. But none of those people actually won the show. The winners of the show are out on the streets right now. I don't know if they're actually on the streets, but they're not working for WWE Network. Of WWE.
Living in a box under a bridge.
Looks like American Idol.
Well, do you see them bringing that show back, Eric?
Tough Enough. Jeez. I don't know.
I mean, I could live without Tough Enough, personally. If I would like to see it come back, but the way that they did it, the format of the show last time, I absolutely hated it. And, I mean, there's no real lack of talent here. You know, the Performance Center is constantly churning people out. So I really think that Tough Enough has pretty much run its course. What do you think, Doug?
I agree with that concept. Here's one wrench I'll throw into it. With how popular, major independent wrestling promotions are, and how every independent region kind of has like a couple of their guys, do you think that you could spark some interest by, pulling people from who are well-known in certain regions, but not quite at the Performance Center? Like, I know a personal favorite, Josh, I don't think you've ever seen him, but like when it comes to the Northeast New York area, I think the three of us are all big fans of JT Dunn. If you told me JT Dunn was going to be on Tough Enough, I would be watching that in a heartbeat.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they did a lot of that. the last season, you saw guys like, you know, I believe Matt Cross was on there. Evilise was on there, who had already been kind of wrestling already. Or I don't know, maybe I'm getting that mixed up. Or I'm getting that mixed up with the season previous that Stone Cold hosted. No, I don't think so. I mean, that might help in like this certain region, but anybody outside of it or where that guy works, they're going to be like, who the hell is this guy? You know, that, it doesn't matter to them. I think it would have to be more of like a nationally kind of known independent name, but those guys, they're making so much money now that why would they even go to Tough Enough, you know?
Sure.
Point. Right. Well, I guess I'll wrap everything up with this. I want to know from all of you, if you could have one WWE Network show back and continue, which would it be? Eric, I'll start with you.
Oh, man, that's a tough question. I mean, I probably would have to go with Breaking Ground because there's been a lot of other stuff that I don't really care about, you know, like Unfiltered, whatever, Culture Shock, whatever. I could care less about those. Like I said, I really enjoy the behind-the-scenes stuff. One that we didn't talk about yet that I really enjoy, even though it's a little bit on the long side, is Something Else to Wrestle. A lot of good stories there. So if you haven't checked that out, I definitely would do that. But I would have to go with Breaking Ground.
Good choice. Dave, how about you?
What are my options again? I don't even know what shows are current and what shows aren't. Like I said, I get into a few of these. Camp WWE is one of them. Table for Three. But other than that, I'll watch like the big, you know, specials on certain wrestlers. But I never really got into too much of the original programming. So what are my options, I guess?
Also, so I'll give you Rivalries, WWE Countdown, or Legends Tales.
You know, I did like Rivalries. I did like Rivalries a lot. That was a favorite of mine. So I guess I'll take Rivals. That'd be mine.
Doug, how about you?
I'm going to give you kind of an odd one because it seems like something that, look, they did it from start to end. There's nothing more to add to it. But it was so good, and I felt like they could have gone into so much more depth. They probably could have run six more episodes. When the network was a fledgling and they were doing that Monday Night Wars series, I was like hitting the refresh button on my computer, just waiting every week for the next one to come out. I was so into that. And, you know, they covered so much, but when it came down to the end, you know, like really the fall of everything, it felt like they had, you know, 10 or so wonderful episodes about all the different people and all that. But when it came to like the fall and the end of the Monday Night Wars, I felt like they could have done so much more. And I felt like they could have done more about, you know, after the Monday Night War was done. And I guess they don't want to talk about that too much because they're WWE. They won the Monday Night War. And the fact that they have never had competition that comes anywhere close really is a benefit to them. So they might not want to talk about the fact that there's such a, you know, a juggernaut, if you will. But yeah, I could have gone for at least six more episodes of that.
Yeah. I think with the Monday Night War, it's kind of been beaten to death at this point, and they could only really run so much of that. You know, how many options do you really have? So, I mean, I definitely would like to have seen more of it, but I mean, how much more?
I want
really
a one-hour special dedicated to La Parca. All right.
I mean, if they just throw up like a GIF of something or of him doing that dance that lasts an hour, I'm cool with that.
They missed their opportunity in the 2000s. Chairman versus Chairman, La Parca versus Vince. I mean, that would put butts in seats.
It would definitely put butts in seats. All right, let's get into our final topic now. Again, if you're listening, you can still give us a call on any of this. We have Raw Tag Team, Sports Betting, and now WWE Network original content on the table. So give us a ring at 914-803-4532, and we will set the table with our final topic. So obviously that's NFL Monday Night Football music there. But what specifically about the NFL are we talking about today, Doug?
Well, it's a really hairy topic, and like Dave was saying earlier, we don't want to get too serious, too political, but we've had some interesting stuff happen in the last week or two in the NFL.
Oh, my God, I'm sorry. You said really hairy, and I just...
ting, tang, walla, walla, bing, bang. Ting, tang, walla, walla, bing, bang.
Oh, my God. So, you know, in the last couple of years, I mean, the NFL has really stepped up in terms of being like an arbiter for, things that happen off the field. And while I agree that, behavior off the field is very important, you ended up seeing guys with longer suspensions for, you know, just in-game infractions than you would like serious, you know, court level behavior off the field. And they're doing what they can to deal with that. And more times than not, it's a good thing. But I want to put this out to you guys because I'm just tiptoeing because I don't know what to say. There have been two incidents in the last two or three weeks that really have me scratching my head. People know that I'm a 49ers fan, so I'm not trying to be a homer here. But, you know, Reuben Foster is a guy who everybody thought had potential to be a big star in the NFL. They knew he came with a lot of off-the-field baggage. That's why he fell in the draft. If you Google Reuben Foster, it's going to be like, Reuben Foster marijuana charges, Reuben Foster gun charges. they had a guy who was a superstar.
You want that?
I mean, you're not going to get a lot of hits for Reuben Foster charity work these days. But, you know, he had his most serious accusation, which was domestic assault. And then it came out a couple of days ago that they recanted the accusation in court. And the ex-girlfriend said it was like a money scheme. And then there's more people thinking, like, was that a lie? So there's that I have no idea, dude. I have no idea what to think because I know this is a guy with a lot of baggage off the field. I guess I wouldn't be surprised either way. But then the other one was, and you guys might be a little bit more familiar with it, was the Matt Patricia thing, who's the new coach. For anybody who doesn't know Matt Patricia, he was a longtime defensive coordinator for the Patriots. He took a job with the Detroit Lions, and now he's got this old indictment surfacing 21 years later. And it's like, you know, it feels so weird to me because this is a guy that was a high-profile coordinator on a high-profile team for years. And you don't want to be that guy that's like, oh, well, why is it coming out now? Like a lot of times when all these lists were coming out with these high-profile guys, like, oh, well, why now? Why are the floodgates open now? But it's a hard situation to talk about. But with Matt Patricia, I really got to figure, Eric, what do you think about these two cases? Because I'm scratching my head.
I mean, I'll focus more on the Matt Patricia thing. This might be a rant coming. Can we stop with the going back 20 and 30 years kind of bullshit with these guys? Why is this coming out now about this guy? He's been interviewed numerous times for numerous jobs across this time span, and it's never come up. And some weasel reporter or whoever the hell it is wants to go back and dig it up and ruin this guy's life? Get the f*** out of here with that. This whole movement, honestly, it's becoming too much. It's way too much. Oh, my God, like he looked at my ass 30 years ago. Let's go after him now. Give me a friggin' break.
Oh, boy.
Rocky bomb!
Get the hell out of here with that shit.
Anyways, well, wow. Remember, in that specific case, it's an indictment. It wasn't a conviction. These charges were dropped. This man, he didn't do anything. It was, I don't understand it. The 20, 30 years is angering, Eric. It just doesn't make any sense.
It's ridiculous. It's just an attempt to ruin this guy's life, basically, or get him fired now that he's finally become a head coach. It's such a weaselly thing to do. I don't know. This is the first time I've actually gotten kind of angry on the show. What do you think about the Matt Patricia thing, Dave?
Well, it is interesting, the timing. I mean, I'm sure he's getting paid quite a bit more than he was as a defensive coordinator, but I'm sure he wasn't like getting chump change being the DC either. So, I mean, if that's, if that was your motivation, if it's just somebody who's out for money, I don't understand. I don't get the timing of it. Unless it's just, I mean, it is, like you say, Doug, it's a sensitive kind of issue, is in the sense that, you know, abuse, it's a hard thing to go through. It's a hard thing to own up to, admit that you've had, you know, something, some problems. So,
well,
yeah,
you know, I think
without knowing all the details, I don't know. I'd be hard pressed to comment on it.
Well, there's always like high profile cases that we've seen, like that all of a sudden, like I said, the floodgates open, you know, from Weinstein to a certain president, all of a sudden, all these people come forward. But also think about a case like Jerry Sandusky, like when it came out years later and people are like, well, why now? Why now? Why now? Well, I don't think anybody questioned the why now when it came to Jerry Sandusky, because, you know, there's a lot of fear when it comes to coming forward, when it comes to people in power. I mean, there's probably situations where people feel very threatened, and for their own livelihood and their family's livelihood, they don't say anything. And then it does feel like a more comfortable opportunity when you have a predator like Sandusky and the floodgates are open. But the Matt Patricia thing definitely feels so much different, so much different. It sits sour in my stomach. And while awful human beings like Jerry Sandusky need the justice they deserve, I mean, is it becoming a culture of like overcorrectness where there does seem like opportunities to take a guy like Matt Patricia down just for spite? I mean, what do you guys think?
The funny thing about the whole Sandusky incident is, I mean, I've seen it on Facebook, is a lot of people that went to that school still don't believe, oh, Joe Paterno didn't know anything. Like, oh my
God. Bull.
You stupid idiot.
No, that's bull.
Baloney.
That's bull.
Let me pose a question to you, Doug.
Sure.
Is Reuben Foster, is he Alden Smith 2.0?
Well, right. That's what I was saying. You know, they had a superstar in the making that had everything going except for the fact that, you know, he couldn't keep his, you know, off the field stuff in check. And like I said, do a Google search of Reuben Foster. You're going to find all this off the field crap. So I hope he's, if he ends up getting cleared of this, which honestly, as soon as the news dropped, I was like, well, there goes his career, from a fan perspective, I had already mentally moved on thinking that he was done, but I don't know, man. He has so much potential to be such an elite player if he can keep himself in check. So I hope he's not Alden Smith 2.0, but it's looking like it.
Well, the thing about Alden Smith, and I think you can remember me commenting on this. It was just when one story would come out about him, even if he did get his name clear to that, it was just only a matter of time. It was going to be a matter of time before another thing happened that he did off the field. He's just that kind of guy. Just didn't get it, you know?
Right.
That's what I would worry about.
You would think a guy like that would learn. Like...
Right, exactly. Some people don't learn.
You know.
He's used to hearing that sound.
So I guess my wrap-up question to you guys is, you know, has it bred kind of a dangerous culture to the point where there's a little bit of overcorrectness? Josh, what do you think?
I think there's a real oversensitivity that's occurring in our society today that's not specific just to sports. But when you have a high-profile athlete such as Reuben Foster and a predatory person sees an opportunity to make money off him, I think that's always going to be the case. Is we're always going to have those types of people in our society that look to make a quick, easy dollar off of somebody else's hardships.
Dave, yep. Dave, what do you think?
Sorry, you caught me not paying attention. What do you need to know, Doug? Let me tell you. I know all the answers.
You know all the answers. I don't know. Has it bred kind of a danger? Like it's a good thing when real predators are outed and punished. But do you think that like with the Matt Patricia thing and who knows what's going on with Reuben Foster, have we overcorrected to the point where it's kind of a dangerous culture to these people?
Oh, absolutely. I agree 100%. 100%. And it's been that way for a little bit now. I don't really see how we stop that at this point. That delves on a political issue, and I don't want to talk politics. I mean, I have all the answers, but I'm not going to give them all out.
Well, right. I mean, that would be way too generous. All right, finish us up, Eric.
Well, I mean, Josh pretty much said everything that I was going to say. You know, I think that there is definitely a major oversensitivity now. Like, I don't know what happened. Where my country gone? I don't know what happened to us. You know what I mean? Like, I don't get where people got so sensitive. But, I mean, we're equal opportunity offenders. We'll make fun of anybody. So, but, once something comes out, you know, everybody seems to jump on the bandwagon. And then you get a lot of people just kind of lying. So, I mean, I couldn't have said it any better myself, Josh.
Hey, bump stuff with me. Chicks dig it when dudes kiss and bump stuff.
Right, you like that one way too much.
Yeah, I mean,
Dream Weaver, I believe you can get me tonight.
Oh my minute. God, I was just dancing to that. I almost pulled my laptop off the fucking bar here.
Yeah, I think I was supposed to internalize that thought.
Damn it, it slipped.
That's what she said. Hey-o. All right, so that's going to do it for our Set the Table topics. Anybody listening, you can still go ahead and give us a call on any of this stuff here. 914-803-4532. And did Alden Smith just get into trouble again? Because I hear something.
It is a day that ends in Y, so probably.
That's true. It's a day that ends in Y, which means it ends with him in handcuffs. All right, definitely. So the Take Popo are here. We're going to finish things off today like we usually do with our hot takes for this week. So I will go ahead and kick things off this week. I'm going to talk a little bit of baseball because the man who really, actually in the American League, is our very own Mookie Betts from the Boston Red Sox. And it's early in the season right now. I want to think about the AL MVP race. So obviously Betts with the front runner. You've also got Machado having an amazing season. I think some people might go on into the mix just because of pitch and the hitting thing. But my hot take is that there's one gentleman that everybody is forgetting about. And it's kind of crazy to me because he's putting up numbers just as good as Mookie Betts, just as good as Manny Machado, just as good as anybody in the American League. So today, my hot take is that your American League MVP will be none other than Mike Trout.
Oh, boy.
Rocky bomb!
Yes.
I don't know how hot of a take that is, but he's still batting over 300 after going through a slump. He's only had two games where he went 0-for that didn't include a walk or a sacrifice fly. And he's on pace right now to have the highest WAR rating in MLB history. Mike Trout, that's the AL MVP this year. So next hot take, we will – boom, baby. Next hot take, we will go over to you, Douglas.
All right. Well, I already kind of said it, and man, that's a tough one. You already got my gears grinding on yours. But going back to what we were talking about with the sports betting, so my hot take will be that, fantasy sports participation has it's just astronomical. It's constantly on the rise. There's constantly new people entering the sphere, if you will. Man, I remember, when I was a kid, my dad being introduced to fantasy sports, and he would do fantasy sports from work, and like everything was handwritten. It was so archaic, man. Like he had his notebook with his, with all his players, and it's just become such a phenomenon. But with the mainstream of sports betting, I will say that in the next 10 years, participation in fantasy sports will flatline.
Flatline.
Not necessarily decrease, but flatline, steady out.
What is this, a Canyon finishing move?
It is. I love me some Canyon.
Yes, me too. That's why I wrote about him. All right, we will go over to Swirly now. What do you got, Swirly?
Well, going back to my NXT boys, I'm going to have to say that when you look at a WWE superstar, not just a star, a superstar, they have to have the physical attributes, the athleticism, the speed, the strength. They have to have the height. They have to have a great character. They have to know how to get over with the audience. And you, if you combine all that, you have a true Hall of Famer. And in NXT, we are going to get to see the full career of a WWE Hall of Famer in the Velveteen Dream.
Ooh.
D-R-A-A-M, bitch.
Damn. Hall of Famer.
I don't think his entrance music actually says that, but that's what it sounds like to me, so that's kind of what I go with. So.
Now that is a hot take. That is a hot
that
take.
Is.
Okay, I'll shake your bouncy booty.
All right. Wrap us up with your hot take today, Dave.
All right. Well, kind of going back to what we initially were talking about when this podcast first began, we were watching the Celtics last night. We were watching the Cavs. I don't think the Celtics showed up at all. But, yes, LeBron James just smoked the Celtics. And he's, you know, it's kind of old hat for him, smoking the Celtics. He's 33 years old right now, and my hot take today is going to be that LeBron James does not hold that gold trophy ever again.
Yes. I like that. I know that you definitely like that.
Mm-hmm.
You like that? You like that?
And I don't care where he goes. He can go to Philly. He can go to L.A. He can go to hell. I don't give a shit.
You
fuck
beat
LeBron.
Me to it. Oh, you totally beat me to that one. All right, so we got some good takes today. The voting's going to be a little bit tough, so we'll go back through it in reverse order. Of all those takes today, Dave, which one are you going to vote out?
All right. Remind me, what, Doug, What exactly is your take again?
Chris Jericho is the greatest wrestler of all time.
Jesus Christ, no. Really?
That's not a take, that's a fact.
You know what? You just made the list. Oh, no.
That's for anybody who doesn't believe that. My dog.
You know?
That with the mainstreaming of sports betting, that participation in fantasy sports will kind of even out instead of its incremental growth.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I kind of tend to agree a little bit with you there. So, I really like Velveteen Dream. I'm with you, Josh. He's the real deal. I'm kind of anxious to see him come up to the main roster, but also kind of not because I don't want him to get destroyed. So, I don't know. We'll see there. I also like Eric's pick. I like it. I like everybody's right down the line here with Mike Trout. I would have reluctantly said the same thing. I know earlier in the week I was like, anybody but Mookie Betts being the MVP is ridiculous. But when I actually get realistic into it, hard to bet against Mike Trout. But geez, I'm going to have to go with, I'm going to have to say no on Velveteen Dream being a Hall of Famer.
just because it's so early. So early. But I really like the Velveteen Dream. Really.
That's what makes it hot, baby.
It is a hot take. I love it. You're bringing the heat, baby. I love it.
Yeah, we definitely have some tough ones today. So, all right, we will go to Josh. Josh, which one are you going to dump today?
As you guys have said, these are all really good takes, and for the most part, I agree with them all. Except, I don't think in the next 10 years, fantasy sports is going to flatline. I think it's going to decrease. So therefore, I'm going to vote against Doug.
Oh, you raised me one, Josh.
All right, so we got one vote for Doug, one vote for Josh. Doug, which way are you going today?
Well, because we're all downhill skiing again. I too will concur that I could see all of these takes being true. It's so hard to pick against a superstar like Mike Trout. If you told me, I'm here all morning, ladies and gentlemen. So if you put a gun to my head and said, who's going to be the AL MVP, I would probably say Mookie, but it's just so hard to bet against a guy like Mike Trout. In terms of Josh's take, you know, I think the Hall of Fame has proven what they do with, like, if you are a sustained and over mid-carder, you're going into the Hall of Fame. It remains to be seen, but I think he has all the potential in the world to do more than that. But I think he has the potential to do at least that. So, and Dave, you kind of said it with LeBron, you know, I don't care where he goes. I just have to dump that one because of that state. Like he's not the kind of superstar that says I'm going to dominate and you guys come to me. He is a ring chaser. And I think that even if he plays for five different teams over the next 7 years, he's going to try to find an easy path to win another championship. I know how dominant he is, but he's going to go somewhere, somewhere stacked. And he's still going to end of his career without as many as MJ. So there you go. I got to dump the LeBron one because he's going to go somewhere to win another championship.
Uh-oh. Eric, you get the deciding vote yet again.
Again. So much pressure all over my shoulders. What am I going to do? Well, obviously, I'm not going to vote for my own. Oh, my God. I think I'm going to have to go against Josh. And only because we're all kind of prognosticating with these. But that one, it still really remains to be seen. I think we've seen a lot of NXT guys come up to the main roster and do a whole lot of nothing, which we talked about last week. So it's really, really hard for me to predict that Velveteen Dream at this point in his career will be a Hall of Famer. Cause for all we know, he could show up on the main roster and be the next Adam friggin' Rose. So, you know, things don't always work the same on NXT or on the main roster as they do in NXT. So, I'm sorry, Josh. I got to do it. I'm done stroking you today. All right. So
well it lasted.
I don't think he'll be Adam Rose, though. I think No Way Jose has got the Adam Rose gig locked up.
Right now. There you go.
Yeah. I'm hoping not, because I'm definitely a big Velveteen Dream fan. And he's been outshining Ricochet in this little mini feud they've been having on NXT. So take notes, Ricochet. You can do a lot of flips, but your promos suck, brother. I'm sorry. They just do. I guess I just dropped another hot take.
Oh, boy.
Rocky bomb!
So, wait, I'm getting flushed?
Yes, Josh.
Yeah,
bullshit.
Sorry, Josh. Today, we are voting out that the Velveteen Dream will be a WWE Hall of Famer. Sorry, man. Had to do it. So, all right, that's going to wrap it up for us this week. We'll finish you guys off with the usual plugs. Of course, you want to follow thechairshot.com on all the social media things. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, all at thechairshot.com with no dot. You can follow me on Twitter now that I'm out of Twitter jail, which we didn't even get into today. But you can follow me at @E_Ames, that's A-M-E-S, 2-3 on the Twitter machine. Dave, where can the people find you?
At Davey, D-A-V-E-Y, _Adams.
That's D-A-V-E-Y, bitch. All right, Josh, where can people find you on the tweet machine?
You can find me on Twitter at SwirlyJ22. That's SwirlyJ22.
We need to come up with a good song for yours, kind of like the homie had last week, the Y-A-F-A-V. That really cracked me up. All right, Doug, I don't know what the hell's going on with you and Twitter. Do you even
You're
care?
You're fucking egg, dude. You're an egg.
No, I kind of like being a little under the radar. I had that other account with, following a couple thousand and having a couple thousand people follow back, and it was just such a cluster. So I kind of like just having you guys on there. But my Twitter handle is JerichoholicDB. You can also find me at home at my house. I'm there, a good amount of time. So.
All right, I'm going to do that.
And the DB does not stand for Doug Barrel. That stands for douchebag. That's right, ladies
and
gentlemen.
That is true. That is true.
Man, you are one pathetic loser. No offense.
No offense.
I'm not offended.
All right, that's going to wrap it up for us this week, guys. Next week, Dave, you have some plans next week, Dave. You won't be with us. What do you got going on again?
Well, I'm going to go and drink with a friend in Virginia for about 4 days. shit. Yeah, it's going to be an extended bachelor party of sorts. So it should be a fun time.
Dude, all we right. had a blast in Virginia with Mark. Have fun.
Sounds like a golf
you
show.
Anybody? Hey, you guys, we should all go. Let's do the podcast down there.
Let's do the podcast from there. Special guest Mark.
Dude, fuck it. That'd be awesome. Oh, man. Wouldn't he be surprised?
Yeah, right? By the way, we're all showing up at your house, and you have to get up Sunday morning.
All right. Breaking news. This podcast will be in Virginia next week. Love it.
Hey, we'll rent a minivan.
Dude, don't tempt me.
The good old state of Virginia. All right, so as usual, we will get you out of here with our motivation music if you need an extra kick in the ass. And this is actually Dave's pick. Dave, why don't you go ahead and intro this? Or actually, no, sorry, next week, filling in for Dave will be the leader of all things podcast on Chairshot Radio Network, Mr. PC Tunney. PC Tunney, ladies and gentlemen, will be on the show. So let's get into our motivation music, Dave. Tell us about your pick today.
My motivation music is Motorhead. Love it. Motorhead. I don't even know which one did you pick.
Which one did I pick? You picked it.
I picked it, but I like
you.
I
picked it.
It was the game. Oh, the game. Yes. Hell yeah. Take it away, Eric.
Oh, man. I don't know why that popped me so hard.
Oh,
all right, here's
your
motivation music, guys. This is Motorhead. Time to play the game. We will see you next week with PC.
It's all about the game. And how you play it, all about control. And if you can take it, all about your debt. And if you can pay it, it's all about pain. And who's gonna make it? I am the game, you don't wanna play me. I am control, no way you can shake me. I am heavy debt, no way you can pay me. I am the pain, and I know you can't take me. Look over your shoulder, ready to run. Like a drainless bitch from a smoking gun. I am the game, and I make the rules. So move on out here and die like a fool. Try to figure out what my mood's gonna be. Come on over, circle, why don't you ask me? Don't you forget there's a price you can pay. Cause I am the game and I want to play.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.